With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weight loss. That's PlushCare.com/weight loss. PlushCare.com/weight loss.
This is Internet Marketing.
Hello and welcome to the Internet Marketing Podcast from Site Visibility. I'm your host, Scott Colnut, and today we have Carl Fillery as my guest. Carl is the partner or a partner at EMC Management Consultants, and we're going to be talking about post-COVID business planning. Good morning to you, Carl.
Good morning.
So before we get into the detail of the conversation and all things post-COVID, can you maybe introduce yourself, your background and your role at EMC for our listeners?
Yes, of course. So as you say, I'm a partner of a company called EMC. We provide expertise in business management and corporate finance solutions, mainly to owner-managed companies and senior executives to help them and their businesses flourish. I've had a career as a business leader spanning sort of 30 years now. Across many different sectors and size of companies, and I guess sort of gaining a reputation really as a change agent, and it's certainly the part I enjoy most. A good example of that is recently as CEO, I led a company generating 100 million in sales that had been losing money for a number of years and in terminal decline. They had invested heavily in many things and people to fix this with no success. And I stopped the rot, turned it around, and increased performance or operating profit by over 30% in under 3 years. And I'm sort of particularly proud of that part. And this was recognized by industry business leaders and owners in becoming Sussex Business Person of the Year.
You mentioned as you were talking there that you've your career has spanned 30 years, all in a similar field. And on that note, is this the most challenging time that you've seen for business owners in those 30 years?
Well, I think it reminds me of the recessions of the 80s, the end of the 80s. I know technically we have seen recessions since then, but that, I would say, is the sort of biggest one I remember of my time that had similar impact, or the impact that this one's going to have. I realize COVID's unprecedented in certain ways, but you know, we will start talking about a recession. And really, it's the optimism from that I want to give, because the upside afterwards can be great. And if you can get through that and get the foundations in place, it will be a very exciting time. But yes, I think that was the sort of last one I saw of significant note.
Maybe can you speak on what you're seeing right now? And to put this in context, maybe about 6-7 episodes ago, Jason Woodford, the CEO of Site Visibility, and I, we were kind of talking about our experience right in the pandemic and what we're going through as a business. So listeners, if you're interested, you haven't heard that, go back and listen to that. That's our perspective on what's happening at Site Visibility. But maybe, Carl, can you speak more broadly on the trends that you're seeing in business owners and what they're experiencing right now?
Well, the trends are there's a big unknown, and that's really around how clients and customers are going to behave, and that's going to be interesting and a bit of a learning curve, because habits have shifted and values have shifted greatly. It's certainly accelerated technology at a rate of knots. So I think we've probably traveled about 5-10 years in a short period of time in embracing technology. I think there are pockets within sectors. So if you're in hospitality, events, leisure, that's, you know, holidays and that type of thing, and anything connected with that, that's a particularly difficult area. And that's going to require, I think, a lot of innovation and you know, what is normal going to look like in that area? I don't know. I think the other part that is interesting really is, you know, I think it's about 12 months before we're going to see everything, because I think the COVID help and support has been fantastic from the government, but it has, you know, it's kicked the can down the road, if you like. And so therefore there are sort of two sort of milestones there. One is going to be sort of September time when the support runs out. And then it's going to be the same time next year when that's all got to start being paid back. So, you know, there's still a lot of information to come out to see what the real effects of that are. I think the interesting thing, it will be about more localized companies again and support and supply chain, which one hopes will be the case in rather than particularly sort of manufacturing and those areas going to big central hubs or even overseas. You know, I'm hoping that the love will be spread a bit more to the sort of local areas again and local manufacturers and local businesses in order to sort of reduce the risk. So that could be very interesting and that could be an opportunity. But there are a few unknowns here. But I think the biggest thing that everybody's learning is where profitable customers are now. You know, businesses chase volume a lot and they don't see where the sort of profitable customers are. And there's some interesting information there around, you know, I've seen talked to a lot of people that sort of dropped half in their income, maybe 2/3 in their income. They're profitable because they've got the income they've retained and the costs they've aligned to it. They're making greater profits. So, you know, there's some sort of real shifting of operating models to go on. And that's what a lot of people are seeing and learning. And I guess that's the area where I feel most help is required, if you like.
Yeah, that's one area that's really interesting to me, particularly about finding profitable customers. And the reason that's interesting to me is because I think we know in the UK there's been a skill gaps in the area of data and analytics, and that's needing to be filled, and there's demand for those roles. And just for me, speaking from more of a marketing than a business perspective, but the same rule applies or the same principle applies, is that I think there are a lot of businesses out there realizing just how useful data analysts can be or would have been in their businesses if they had them in place already. Because when you're in a time like this and you need to focus or double down solely on your most profitable customers or on customer segments, now is the time that you're looking for a data analyst. So I'm seeing something similar in that businesses that are well equipped with data seem to already quite sophisticated in their use of data and analytics seem to be finding this a little bit more easier than those that are not as sophisticated. So that's a really interesting trend that I think spans probably marketing and business. Mm. Let's take a scenario. So I'm a business owner right now, and you've just talked about that September or October when the furloughing scheme is ending is coming up, and I'm maybe feeling apprehensive about that. Can you maybe speak on or give some practical tips about your advice and where you'd recommend people start?
Yeah, well, I think the interesting piece here and what I want to encourage people to start thinking about is the future. And starting to plan, really. Stop assuming that the old way will come back. You know, it may, but I think it's dangerous to hope that it will. And it is really time to sort of lead with some confidence, I guess, and optimism, but balance that with realism. You know, you can sit there with your head in, your hand saying, well, it's never going to be good or the same again. And actually, that's not going to help, and it's not going to help the people that you manage. You're not going to be spoon-fed the answers. So, you know, it's time to sort of get going and get some confidence back and start sort of pushing what happens next. You're going to have to make some assumptions, and you're going to have to get some help, which probably sort of just underlines what we just talked about earlier about some analysis or external view or you know, maybe using resources that you haven't thought of before. And the planning part, I think, is a little tough, because I think, you know, the environment we've got used to, or the distractions of working from home or wherever we're working from, you know, is not necessarily sort of conducive really to be able to sort of think about the future, because I think that's something that's normally better done sort of face-to-face, drawing off energy, bouncing ideas. So, you know, I would encourage that to start taking place again. And you just got to start thinking about what your business could look like, what it should look like. You know, we're hearing this this term a lot, you know, what's the next normal for you? But that's really the sort of thinking you've got to do. Organizing your business in line with, you know, future demand levels, what you've seen. You've got to be clear on what these are. And really, you know, how are you going to deal with them? And just, you know, really sort of think about everything differently and with open eyes.
Yeah, there's a fascinating piece of advice there that I took from that, which is not to have your kind of business benchmark as pre-COVID, because that might not return, or it's very unlikely to return. So, you know, look at your business in a new light, and maybe this is the best time to reestablish and reset your targets or your vision for your business. And so I think that's a really interesting piece of advice.
Yeah. And your personal, you know, and, you know, targets and ambition in that, because that will drive what you do next, and it will be felt in your company if you're at odds with it, frankly. So it's a good time to reset.
Yeah. No, I agree with that. Just from a personal standpoint as well, I think that's a really key message. And as you mentioned there, business owners can take those personal views or that personal reset and apply that to their business. And it probably will make it a lot easier if they're comfortable in themselves as well. And earlier you mentioned technology, and you said how businesses are having to adapt or use technology more than ever before, and it's maybe accelerated their use of it. Mm. Can you maybe speak on some other adaptations that business owners are having to make? Yeah, anything that stands out to you beyond technology?
Well, I think I've seen lots of innovation, you know, from people that produce booze to producing hand gel and things like that.
They're not the same thing, though.
Well, yeah, probably. Just put it in a different bottle.
Hey, it's desperate times, and I've got a lot of hand gel lying around. So,
yeah, but you know, there is some innovation out there. I think the caution piece, and I think that we joke about that. I think is it sustainable? You know, well done on someone trying to, you know, react to the sort of challenges they're facing. You know, get some production going, get some income going. You know, help the sort of greater good, if you like. But actually, now you know, when a form of normality resumes, are you still going to produce booze, or are you going to produce hand gel? And my suggestion is, you know, that may not be sustainable. So I think the long term innovation piece is interesting. I think I come at the sort of technology and the sort of the adaption of the consumer, if you like, or clients, where, you know, people wanted a lot of face to face. We've seen big shifts in brand switching, which you've probably seen as well, which is interesting. Big shifts on online ordering and shopping, which doesn't seem to be changing that much as well. You know, those that are now going back out to restaurants and bars are used to having their temperatures checked and given their data details and sitting 2 meters away from people. But I think The other interesting bit really is that where I'm seeing is inquiries change, and particularly in sort of manufacturing in areas like that, where businesses have been putting all their sort of procurement overseas, they're now talking internally to the type of companies that we are working with, and wanting to sort of reconnect and sort of do business again. So that part's interesting. And you know, I guess the bit, I mean, we're quite a client intensive sort of company, and you know, we've all got used to the sort of Zoom culture now, but more importantly, so has the people we want to speak to. They're very comfortable, they're very happy, it's now in the language. I think we're far more efficient than we've ever been, and I'm seeing this a lot with other companies in spending time with our clients and getting to the point rather than times in cars or traveling or stuff like that. And actually it feels like a greater service is being offered, if you like, because we are spending more time, little and often, you know, with our clients, and what I'm seeing other people, you know, they're spending time with their clients. And I guess the point I'm trying to get to is, whereas you could be doing a piece of work, or you're quoting for a company, or you're helping a company succeed or grow, and you could go quiet for a couple of weeks while you work on a piece of work, you now can talk regularly, and people feel the sort of momentum and the progress, and are able to sort of input along the process. So I think that part's interesting. I think another part is going to around the distribution piece. So this whole shifting of home working, you know, we are seeing some of the people that provide desks, tables, chairs, that type of thing. They're getting the same level inquiries and orders, but they're now not going to a central place. They've now got to go to, you know, 100 people's houses to deliver all of this and put it all in place. So that's interesting. And then that's going to tie back to, you know, what's profitable business looking like. I also think that the consumer and customer at the moment is happy to pay a little more. They've accepted that. Whether they're able to pay a little more is a different thing. Certainly there's a willingness to. So, you know, I jumped around a lot in that. Apologies, but I just wanted to draw out the interesting things that I'm seeing.
Yeah, no, there's plenty of trends there. And the thing about customers kind of willing to pay more is really, where do you think that comes from, maybe?
Well, I think there is this acceptance that it's, you know, it's a big crisis. I think what's different this time is it's not a company or an industry or, you know, the banks or whatever. You know, there's no one to blame, if you like, particularly within business. And therefore there's probably a little bit of sympathy that I'm not seeing before. And I think where this will sort of be sort of checked is that people may not do as much. So I'm certainly going back to sort of the hospitality industry, you know, people are questioning themselves about how often they used to eat out and what they did, and is it a special event anymore? And I can do this at home, I can do it with friends, and it's actually quite enjoyable. But I still will go out, but it's going to be a bit more of a special event. So, you know, I think there's a bit of that going on, really.
That's a fascinating way to look at it, actually. There's two things that you touched on. I guess one we've already spoken about a little bit, and that now is the time to kind of do a bit of self-analysis, and consumers are doing that themselves and their spending habits. So that's interesting. But actually it's the consumer sympathy part, which I'll summarize is kind of what you discussed there, is that that's fascinating, actually. And it's something that maybe I don't think I've experienced before, but as you said, maybe there are customers out there, I've seen a little bit of this, that are more willing to buy, you know, one-off products. Or I recently, for example, I'm into martial arts, and there's a mixed martial arts company called One, and I would never usually purchase from them. They're based out in Singapore, and I'm not into buying all the merchandise, but I purchased a stay-at-home kit, which is kind of a selection of items that they pulled together and curated to encourage people to stay at home, and they took some of the profits from that to donate to COVID-19 relief. and things like that. And the other, so that, that's, there's a personal experience of me doing that. And I've done that, I think, a few times during lockdown, but also things like buying gift cards. I've seen this gift cards locally for restaurants, even though they're not open now, or they're just opening in preparation for when they do open to keep them running. I've seen Kickstarter and crowdfunding to help keep local businesses opening, and people kind of from a community getting in, putting their hands in their pocket to contribute. So there's something in there about consumer sympathy and being alert or more alert to the problems that businesses are facing. And it's really interesting, just from a marketing angle, it's being conscious of that so you don't take advantage of it. I think that's really important.
I agree. I mean, I think that I've seen, you know, a lot of landlords being very kind with their leases. I mean, it's all if they're able to. If they're able to, they've been kind and you know, try to help people or businesses. Sadly, there's some that just aren't able to be kind, and that's the sort of vicious circle, if you like. But there's a lot of positive things I think.
Yeah, and one positive that stands out to me about that whole situation is, I guess that will allow businesses and customers to build much stronger and closer bonds, maybe that they haven't had before. If they're if they're in this situation together, a business is struggling, and a consumer has sympathy and is helping them keep them afloat, you'd expect that to form some real customer loyalty on both sides, really.
Yes, yeah, and I think the community sort of, you know, community piece, or my hope and where I see it at the moment is that, you know, customers, we use the term loyalty a lot, but actually the sort of you know, what you're trying to get to is a community, and I think that will, I'm certainly seeing it, I hope it sticks, and I think the key will be for businesses to make sure that they don't abuse it, if you like. and retain that community and loyalty, you know, real loyalty with their customer base.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss. If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Wow!
Nice!
Yeah!
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST. Code ACAST.
And going back to our, you know, an example business, they're in this position, they're spotting these trends, and they're kind of trying to plan for the future. What are some practical things you think business owners can start doing today in respect to planning?
Well, you've got the immediate piece, haven't you? You've got to start, you know, thinking if you've got people on furlough and that type of thing, you've got to, you know, start thinking about when and how, and actually whether you should be bringing these people back. You know, part of the sort of resetting is sometimes sadly not all about making nice decisions, but now is the time to make those tough decisions. And back to what we said already about, you know, if you've taken support, you've got to start planning about what that looks like in your business and how you're going to be able to service it. And importantly, I think there's some good companies out there that I'm seeing and still encouraging to take support because they you know, they've genuinely been affected by the COVID piece and should be taking some support because it will help them and very much can see that, you know, that they will get some sort of level of increase in their income. You know, the social distancing rules, these pieces, you know, everything that we've been talking about here, you've got the health and safety for your customers and your clients. And, you know, there will be a different expectation there, particularly, I think, from your employees and certainly with the customer base, which will probably show itself a bit more in demographic, but still will be there. But I think a really interesting piece, never before have I seen so much information being shared by companies, people, you know, with all this sort of downtime of trying to fill the gaps. Everybody is sharing lots of information. And this is a great time, I think, to see what's out there, what would work for you, how others are doing. You know, grab it, adapt it, use it, you know, just it's already readily available. So it's a good time to grab hold of that.
Yeah, so I guess on the practical standpoint, it's making sure you do your research. And yeah, it's funny you say that because, as I mentioned, we've already recorded a podcast of this, Jason and I, from a different angle completely. And I'm pretty certain that if I look at the guests that I've spoken to on this podcast between that podcast with Jason maybe 7 episodes ago and now, I'm almost certain we've touched on the topic in some form or some context with every guest. So there are little pieces of advice coming through in every episode about how to adapt and apply new lessons for, I guess, post-COVID. So yeah, I agree with you. There's no shortage of information out there at the moment. No,
and it's still changing. And it's still changing. Every week there's something new.
Right. No, you're right, because we're still, that's the thing, we're not out of it yet, and who knows what's going to happen. But we're, you know, as we record this, we're at the just nearer towards the end of July, and there's still a few months to go in terms of business support. So you need to have your research mechanisms in place, I guess, so that you're alert to new information and new ideas as well. So that's really important, and some practical advice. And I guess the hardest part, and speaking on the fact there is so much information, is prioritization. So can you maybe provide some advice around where you would prioritize your time and planning in which area?
Yeah, well, this is where the leadership piece comes in, really. You know, as a leader, you've got a responsibility to, you know, prioritize and really commit to the sort of areas of importance. So, you know, it's and when you've worked this, you've got to work that out. And you've got to sort of focus on the following areas. You've got to reset your business model. Is it the right one? You know, have fewer but bigger priorities or objectives. And as I've said earlier, you know, don't chase volume, chase the profit, chase the cash profit more importantly, because, you know, cash has got to be king. So you've fundamentally or comprehensively got to reset your cost base. You've got to protect the cash part and be clear about, you know, you can repay, and you've got all these holidays going on, but they're going to catch up with you at some point. So, you know, have them in your mind. And importantly, you've probably got to do just a little bit of work to see that, you know, you're going to be paid and your supply chain and clients and suppliers are able to sort of pay you. So, you know, you've got to get a bit closer to some of the key people in your, you know, your company set up and build those relationships again, just to understand that you know what can affect you. It's not about everything you do. It's about the companies that you're connected with, what they can do, you know, the effects they can have on you. And that you make plans really around that. So back to sort of proper basics of managing your business. You've got to, you know, we talked about earlier about looking outside, you know, how is your market, your sector being affected? And actually, you know, looking that again with that outside look about, you know, what do new products and new customers look like? You know, and I guess, you know, everyone in the sort of analytics world or the marketing world, you should be good at that. But we, you know, really see what's working well and what are the sort of success stories that are coming out at the moment, and how can you adapt that? But the, I think the biggest thing really is, you know, we're hearing this sort of term a lot about pivoting and flexible. You know, if we look back in the past, successful companies have always been flexible and able to adapt quickly to change. And this is going to be an incredibly important ingredient over the next couple of years. And you need to really think about, have you got the right people? Have you got the right skills? Are you focused on the right things? And it goes back to the leadership piece again. You've got to get buy-in. You've got to clearly lay out what you're focused on. You've got to be able to change if through those learnings it's not working for you. So, you know, get closer to your people, talk to them regularly, give them clarity, turn it into a language they understand, and you know, just keep batting away, really. But really be prepared to change. If something's not working, then cut it out quick and move on to something else.
Yeah, there was a great example of this recently, and it's not about long-term change, I don't think, but there is a, I think it was a Brighton, I'm going to say Bourne because I think they've expanded now, but bakery called Ray's. And I watched a story on BBC News where COVID had hit. They had to close down their bakery and they noticed a trend in people looking for flour for at-home baking. So I think it was the business owner, I might have that wrong, but I'm pretty certain it was the business owner, set up an online store overnight to sell all of this excess flour. And then and then they sold out of the flour, and then it expanded into other baking goods. And all of a sudden they had this new revenue stream from an online store for all of this at-home baking ware and products. And it was kind of an overnight success. And now that they're allowed to open, they're still keeping the online element of the store running as a new revenue stream. So I found that a fascinating story about how to adapt, and it kind of ties in lots of these elements that you're talking about in terms of keeping observant and your eye on research and needing to pivot and some of the good and some of the positive things that can come out of this situation for a lot of business owners. So that was a really interesting story. Actually, on that topic, just before we close the podcast, not necessarily examples, but resources. Are there any books, podcasts, websites that you find yourself going to a lot for this type of information, these types of trends that you've been speaking
about? Well, we produce quite a bit ourselves because we're connected, you know, with about 50 clients at the moment that we're trying to, you know, been working with in one form or another and sort of helping them through this change. So where we can, we share that information. Certainly, you know, I find LinkedIn interesting, what people are sort of posting there and the stories, and that seems to become, I don't know whether people have just become more engaged, but it certainly seems to be a richer form of help and people sharing stories. You've got to sort of work your way through that a little bit. McKinsey, I particularly like. They probably throw out about three sort of newsletters or content or podcasts a day of just what's going on with the trends, both UK and overseas. And it's a mixture of trends and also what people are doing about it or areas to sort of focus on. So they're the areas I get the most amount of information from. And like I say, I find the McKinsey one particularly interesting. And, of course, the ones that we produce as well.
And now's the time that we can add you to that list. So can you let our listeners know where they can find more about you and more about EMC Consulting?
Of course. So I mentioned LinkedIn. I think that's really the sort of best way to connect with me or message me. That has both my sort of personal profile there and also connections to EMC. And between those two areas is where we share information. And that's got all my direct details on as well. So if anyone particularly feels like speaking to me, that's a good way of actually achieving it.
Brilliant. And on the flip side of that, if you're looking for an agency and you're looking for the data and analytics part of that, someone to help you identify trends, particularly online. We talked about help you identify your most profitable customers. Reach out to us at Site Visibility. We're at sitevisibility.co.uk. All of the show notes from today's episode are at sitevisibility.co.uk as well. Send all your feedback to grow@sitevisibility.com. And for now, Carl, I'll just say thank you for your time. It's been a really interesting discussion, and have
thank
a great
day.
Thank
you very day. Much indeed. Thank you.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Spin your passion into a business with Shopify and break sales records with the world's best converting checkout. Let's hear that one more time. The world's best converting checkout. Shopify's legendary checkout makes it easier for customers to shop on your website, across social media, and everywhere in between. Now that's music to your ears. Any way you spin it, you can be a smash hit with Shopify. Start your $1 a month trial today at shopify.com/records.